Please stand with me for the reading of God's holy word. Pastors ought to pray for church members to do the right thing. Part 3. Praying through the Bible. Number 2. Message in this series. Number 266. And allow me to pick up reading from last week at verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13. Paul says to the Corinthian believers, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. In other words, instead of examining me, examine yourselves. For maybe the reason why you are so busy examining me is because you have never been saved yourself. So check out yourself. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Sometimes pastors and church leaders have to make that statement to the children, if you will, who they led to the Lord after they grew up a while and they bow up just like typical teenage children in real life under a parent. And sometimes a parent has got to sit down after a while because the child has grown familiar with him or her or both. Familiarity, as you know, breeds contempt and disrespect and a lack of appreciation for. And so sometimes a pastor has to sit down now and say, look, now I hope you understand that I was saved before you and that I'm the one that led you to the Lord. So don't get ridiculous. Sometimes a parent has to sit down with a older child and remind him or her that you were there when they were born and that you led them to the Lord when they were 7. You're the one who inspired them to be a missionary or inspired them to do something else. And so don't get the big head and think you can start telling me what the deal is or what time it is. That's just out of place. And so that's what Paul is doing here. Verse 7, now I pray to God. So Paul said, okay, let's skip, let's leave the dumb stuff. And now I pray to God, he says, that ye do no evil. Okay, stop the foolishness. Not that we should appear approved. Paul, I'm way past that and probably never was there. You know, I'm not interested in trying to be approved by man or some other group of Christians by your behavior and what you're doing. But that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates in your little minds. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Amen, somebody. And I think I'll stop there. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we thank you for salvation full and free and made possible through your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't understand it all, but we thank you for it all. Forgive us and cleanse us on an individual basis of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us. And fill us with the power, the unction, and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit to move mightily through your holy word upon the hearts of your people, those who are saved and those who are lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are in a rather long but wonderful series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you and challenge you, and yes, motivate you, if you will, to pray to the God of the Bible. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 26 messages in this series. I'm sorry, 266 messages in this series by the grace of God. This is message number 267, titled Pastors Ought to Pray for Church Members to Do the Right Thing, Part 3. Pastors ought to pray for church members to do the right thing, Part 3. Ladies and gentlemen, in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul encourages the believers who were caught in the middle of a controversy caused by some detractors of Paul to take careful note of their own spiritual standing. And may I say to pastors, may I say to Bible teachers, may I say to group leaders, understand we all want to be humble and meek as God has called us. In fact, that's what he puts in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. But do not forget about or diminish the authority that God has given to you because of some complainers and whiners and haters in the church and outside of the church. And I want to say the same thing to parents. God has given you that authority if God has called you. And if you have led folks to the Lord, or you're the person who's the pastor or the leader or the group leader or the teacher, if you will, magnify your authority. At the same time, be humble and meek. And you have to, every now and then, gently remind underlings, people who are under you, that you're in charge. And it is not their place to try to tell them. It is their place to tell you. This, and may I say this to husbands as well. All people in authority, police officers, governmental officials, exercise the authority that has been invested in you. Not just for good times, but for all times, because God will use you to help people if they understand that you're in charge. Amen, somebody. You need to say time out from all of these underlings who want to teach you and tell you and have a scripture for you that is supposed to check you and maybe shut you up. That's not what God wants you to do. All of that is the devil using people who are supposed to be following you and learning from you to keep you quiet, to shut you up. It's all designed. And I pray for my dear pastor friends who normally have more of a timid spirit. They don't want to exercise their authority. They they normally have a multitude of gifts, and one of them is mercy and helps, and they don't understand why you are mad at them, amen, somebody, when they are trying to pull you out of the fire of your messed up marriage, your messed up relationship with your children, your messed up financial situation. They don't understand why you want to question them when they are trying to help you. And they normally have very sweet spirits. They take a whole lot, and they won't say anything. But I will. And I'm encouraging pastors, church leaders, exercise the authority that God has given you. You're in charge. Act like you're in charge. Lovingly, Paul lovingly told him, listen, I hear you talking, but let me remind you now, I'm the parent here. It is not your place to examine me. Let me turn it around on you. You need to examine your own selves. You check yourself. You confess your sins. You repent. You leave me and my family alone. God called us to do this. In fact, God saved me a long time before you. This church would not even be here to help you and your family, and has already helped you and your family 20 years before you got here. Every now and then, you have to lovingly, you don't have to be nasty about it. Amen, somebody. In fact, you might want to even use a story in your own life and say, you know what? I used to think like you're thinking. I used to think I could tell the pastor something and try to make him change and mold him and make him into what I want him to be and make him shut up and put him in his place. But God taught me not to do that. God taught me from his word that leaders are here for our benefit. And if we don't serve under them and don't listen to them and don't let them watch for our souls as we should, then God's not going to be pleased with us. So I learned the hard way to keep my mouth shut and keep my mouth off of the man of God. And if I had a suggestion and it came from a pure place in my heart to help the ministry, then I learned how to do that in a respectful manner, but not in any way trying to convict him or get back at him or use a scripture verse to try to check him. And so that's not my place. And may I say that that's the case not only in the church, that's the case in the home, sir. You're the pastor of that family, not the you're the priest of that home, man. You're the pastor of that home. Don't let no other man, including the pastor, speak into your home other than what you want said and done. In fact, you don't need another pastor to tell your wife nothing. You tell your wife at home what the deal is. Okay? So stop all of this backing up. If you got something in your heart to say to your wife, you say it. If she needs to be quiet, you tell her so. I just heard a testimony of a lady this morning. She fell under conviction because she said that she was nagging her husband all up in his face, telling him this, that, and the other. And God, she said, God put her under conviction about it. And this is what she said. She said, oftentimes, we as wives, we always want to point the finger at the husband and at somebody else. And we never look at ourselves. And that's probably what's wrong with your wife, sir. Don't get mad with me. Go ahead and say amen. Go ahead and like me. Go ahead and like me. I'm telling you the truth. Even if it hurts. Say, I like the word. I don't like him, but I like the word. Do that. Stand flat-footed and say, I have made my decision. This is what we're going to do. And whatever. See, now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock the socks off of some of you husbands. Some of you husbands, they got you, these women got you petrified and scared to say anything. You're henpecked and controlled by your wife. And Because you're scared she's going to leave you. You're scared she's going to take the children. You're scared she's going to take you to the cleaners. Let me tell you something. First of all, don't put yourself in a situation like that, where you're going to lose everything if she does that. Number two, this is going to shock the socks off of you, particularly in conservative evangelical circles. And I know some folk are going to get mad with me. Do not compromise the word of God, sir, and let your wife have her way and your children have their way. You stand flat-footed and say what thus saith the Lord to your wife and children. You're the pastor of that house, not the pastor of the church. You're the priest. They are supposed to subject themselves to you. Whether they like it, lump it, choke on it, it makes no difference. Huff and puff and blow the whole house down. Who cares? God made you a man, and you tell whatever God tells you to tell them, you tell them. And here's what's going to shock you. If that means that she's going to run out in the street and lie on you, so be it. If that means divorce, so be it. Just have a backup plan ready to go. Because you don't have a marriage and family anyway if you can't say what God has told you to say and what the word tells you to say. So that's enough on that. Not only in the church, not only in the family, but in the government. Exercise your authority. Every now and then you have to lovingly and gently just remind folk. Now, before you even got saved, while you was out smoking dope, and I was serving God for 30 years, okay? So I'm here to help you. I'm here to instruct you. You're not here to instruct me. You just have to lovingly tell them, like Paul, examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. And on that note, I'm going to cut this sermon short. And however, I'm not going to cut it so short I don't share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are with us today and you have never been saved, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Yes, it is as simple as that. Just understand that you are a sinner. You have broken some of God's commandments. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we go to an awful place called hell. Jesus Christ, that's right, he came to save our souls from hell. That's the main reason why he came. And so that we can be with him in heaven throughout eternity. Do you want to be saved today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you pray with me right now what is commonly called the sinner's prayer? This will be your first real prayer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Follow me in prayer right now, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and meaning it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have sinned against you. I have broken some of your Ten Commandments. And I understand because of my sin, I deserve hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn away from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and for his sake. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, You are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, until next time, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.